Let's open our Bibles here this morning to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning. And we're going to start reading at the very beginning of this wonderful book, probably one of my favorite books of the Bible, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 18 verses. And if you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good news. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning for these verses. Scripture that is very familiar to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what a wealth of biblical truth in these 18 verses. And I just pray that I can do some justice to these here this morning. I pray that what I have written here, Lord, will glorify you and will make the eyes open and the minds open and the hearts open to those who really don't know Jesus Christ and who he is. I pray that today will be a day of transformation for some people in here today, Lord, and that we will all come away from here today knowing a little bit more about you because of your word, because of your scriptures. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. In our daily reading this past week, specifically on Wednesday, we started into the Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament. Let me tell you a little bit about John, the author. This man, John, he was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he was one of the 12 chosen apostles. He wrote this gospel along with 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, those epistles, along with, he also wrote the book of Revelation, the last book in our Bible. In the Gospel of John, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John was a fisherman. We know that he had a brother named James. We know that he had a father named Zebedee. And we know who he had a mother who wanted her sons, James and John, to sit at the right and left-hand sides of Jesus in his kingdom. John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write an account of certain events in the life of Jesus. And those certain events would come to what we know today as the Gospel of John. All four Gospels will portray Jesus from a different viewpoint. Let's talk about them real briefly. The Gospel of Matthew, the first Gospel, portrays Jesus Christ as King. If we go back to Matthew chapter 1, there's a genealogy listed there. And that genealogy is of the Jewish nation, from Abraham all the way to Joseph, who supposedly was the father of Jesus, his foster father. And that shows the true lineage of Jesus as a Jew with royal blood, because the king of the Israelites had to come from the seed of David. Then we go to the Gospel of Mark. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant. And you notice in the Gospel of Mark, there is no genealogy, because a servant would not have anything written about him as far as genealogy. The Gospel of Luke, the third Gospel, portrays Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. Luke chapter 3 gives the genealogy of what most theologians think is the genealogy of Mary, his human mother. And it works in reverse, from Mary all the way back to Adam, who was the first man, which depicts Jesus as being fully man. So we have Matthew telling us that Jesus is king. We have Mark telling us that Jesus is a servant. And we have Luke telling us that Jesus is the Son of Man. And now we come to the fourth and final gospel in our Bibles, the Gospel of John. What's he telling us? I believe we have it written right here in these first 18 verses. In this book, we have John telling us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John wants to make sure in this whole Bible that he proclaims the divinity of this man, Jesus Christ. And here in the first 18 verses of this gospel, we read the evidence for that claim. The claim that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is in fact and indeed the Son of God. You know, as I was preparing for this message this past week, all of my reading and my studying on this made me really think of what do I think and how do I think about God? Do I really grasp who He is? Do I really grasp how perfect and holy and big and wonderful and sovereign and how great He really is? Do I treat Him as such? Do I worship Him as such? Do I love Him as such? Well, just by reading these first 18 verses of this chapter, I had to conclude in my simple little mind that I had to make God a whole lot bigger, and I had to make myself a whole lot smaller. Well, we read in the first 18 verses of this book, we read those verses earlier, but we're not going to have time to cover it all. So for the remainder of our time, we're going to look at some things that we need to learn about Jesus according to what John tells us. So let's start with our first fill in the blank, and I'm going to go and reread verses 1 and 2, and it's very simple. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Our first fill in the blank, how simple can that be? Jesus is God. Period. No ands, if, ors, or buts. Jesus is God. And in these verses, John uses the word, well, in our English translation, we have the word, but it's the Greek word logos. And I'm no Greek major by any means. But I found something very interesting about the word that John uses here, the Greek word logos. A Jew would understand the word logos, as we see the word, as a way of always referring to God. In the Old Testament, we see such sayings as this: the word of the Lord is flawless, or the word of the Lord came to Solomon. A Jew would understand the word logos always as a reference to God. So when John uses the word logos here to reference Jesus, in essence, what he is saying to the Jew, Jesus is God. And they should understand that. On the other hand, we have the Jews. Well, what about the Greeks? They might read this Gospel of John here also. Well, the Greek would understand the word logos as a rational principle for divine reason or wisdom. To the Greek, logos was this non-personal force that brought all things into existence, a power that was much greater than any human being. So to the Greek, they would understand logos as something that was far more infinite than they were. So John, by using one simple word, regardless of who was reading it, the Jew or the Greek, both would understand that Jesus understood, that John understood Jesus as being God. We must realize the importance of that fact, the fact that Jesus is God. It is a foundational belief in Christianity. You cannot be a Christian and not believe that Jesus is God. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 24, he says this, "You will die in your sins if you don't believe that I am who I say I am." And who does Jesus say that he is? He says he's God. He says, "I and the Father am one." He proclaims his divinity. Now, how important is this? I'm going to cover something that I may have covered somewhere in the past. I'm going to get a little more into depth with it here this morning. There are two groups of people out there in this world that classify themselves as Christians, and I would like to say otherwise. One of them are our Mormon friends. They will say that they are Christians. If you believe Mormon theology, let me rephrase that. If you believe Mormon theology, you are not a Christian. Because what the Mormons believe? They believe this. Here's their saying. As man is, God once was. As God is, man can become. They are saying this. And only to you men out there. You guys can become gods. Sorry, ladies. You can't get there. You can become a god if you do everything right. Because God, as they know it, as they would call Father God, used to be a human being just like us. But he ascended into godhood. And then he had relations with a woman, had spiritual babies, two sons. He had Jesus and Lucifer. According to Mormon theology, they were brothers. One of them had to die for the sins of the human race. I don't know if they flipped a coin or what they did, but it went to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I know this. That is not what my Bible teaches. Jesus was not a created being. God the Father was not a human being at one time, and he ascended into godhood. That whole Mormon theology is a bunch of rubbish. And I know that offends some people. But guess what? The truth offends people. The truth will make you angry before it will ever set you free. So sorry, Mormons who might be listening to this sermon online. Get right with the right gospel and get saved. I can't leave the Jehovah's Witnesses out of this. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they fall into the same problem. They do not believe Jesus is God. He is just a good teacher. They only believe in Jehovah God. There's only one. They are what we would call Unitarians. Now, I know that there's a church out there called Unitarians, but that's another subject for another sermon. We, Christians, we are Trinitarians, right? We believe in three persons, one God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, they leave two of them out. They only believe in Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is not divine by any means. And they believe this. Remember, I often tell you that people have a belief system. And then they take that belief system and they try to make this Bible fit that belief system, whatever this is. Instead of making the Bible teach them something, they try to teach the Bible something. The Jehovah's Witnesses has taken that to the next step. They not only do that, they have rewritten the Bible. And if you have ever seen a translation called the New World Translation, that is a Jehovah's Witness Bible. Trash it. It's no good. You know what they say in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2? Let me read what the Jehovah's Witness Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Little g. The Word was a God. They believe that Jesus has some kind of godness about him. But it's not this God. He was a God to some extent. Little g. Sorry, JWs, you got it wrong. If you don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, what does Jesus say? You will die in your sins if you don't believe that I am who I say I am. So, fact number one, to be a Christian, you got to believe that Jesus is God. And that leaves out those two cults, the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses. We need to pray for those people. They need to hear the truth so they can be set free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So according to John, Jesus is God. Fill in the blank number two. Jesus is eternal. Jesus always was and He always will be. Jesus is the great I Am. God is not restricted to time. That's why He can say, I'm the great I Am. He's always in the present tense. That is why He calls Himself I Am. And what does Jesus say in John chapter 8, verse 58? He says, He's having this discussion with the Jews, and He says, before Abraham was born, I Am. Which He equated Himself with God. Again, Jesus is saying this, I and the Father are one. But when it says here in the text, here in verse number one, in the beginning, the beginning of what? And I think that needs a little clarification. Well, where do we see a similar statement? We see it here in John 1:1. Where do we see a similar statement? How about Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So what does it mean here? So at the time of creation, at the beginning of things as we know them, Jesus was already with God. Because that's what it says. He was with God in the beginning. So according to John, Jesus is not only God, now He's eternal. Eternal future, eternal past. Now I'm going to try to give you the best analogy to that I can. And it's a pretty sad one. But it's story time with Pastor Mike. And story time goes like this. It was 1991, and I worked for Genicom. And they sent me all over the United States teaching people how to use printers and fix printers. One day they sent me to Houston, Texas, to the Johnson Space Center. Was there for a whole week. That was a great trip. Loved it there because every night they took me for a tour of their facilities. And everything at the Johnson Space Center is big. Everything is big. It's rockets. And one night, this guy, his name was Al, he was taking me and he took me into this museum that they have there. And I don't know if you know what a Saturn V rocket engine is. Well, a Saturn V rocket engine, there were five of them underneath the Apollo rockets that blasted them off into space. And I look at this engine and I could stand with me with another me on top of me and I still wouldn't stand within the circumference of this whole thing. Actually, diameter, right? Sorry, math people. The diameter of this thing. This thing was humongous. And I remember looking at Al and saying this, how does this thing work? And he looked at me and said, it's easy. I said, it's easy? He said, yes. It's a controlled burn. Now, you're looking at me like I looked at him. I have no idea, Al, what you are talking about. What is a controlled burn? I know one thing. Controlled burns work because we use them to blast rockets off into outer space. So I believe that they work. In the same sense, I believe Jesus is eternal. I might not know all the details about He always was. And I don't try to figure that out just like I don't try to figure out rocket engines. But if the Bible tells me that He always was, guess what? I believe that He always was. Fill in the blank number three, from verse number three. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Well, another simple thing. Number three, Jesus is Creator. And you don't have to be a trained theologian to understand that sentence, what it says there. Just read it for what it says. This world and the universe and everything we know about it was made by Jesus, according to John. The Apostle Paul, if we went to the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, he gives us the exact same information. He tells us this, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. For He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now, maybe I don't understand all that either, but let me just share with you the story that I saw, that I read. A young boy was trying to understand John chapter 1, verse 3. So he walks up to his mother and he figures, I'm going to challenge Mom. And he said this, Mom, God did not make everything. He did not make our car. Men made our car. Well, the mother, in all her wisdom, says this, but son, men only assembled our car. God made all the material that went into the car. Let me ask you this. Who created bread and fish out of nothing? Jesus. What holds our solar system together? Jesus. What holds things to this earth? Jesus. We would call it gravity, right? But who made gravity? Jesus. What makes the wind blow? What makes the sun shine? What makes trees grow? And what makes water wet? Jesus. One last question. Who made cats?
Jesus.
You know what, John Parker? You're right. Although we had one, and I might put up a pretty good argument against that. But even God made cats. You know, according to John, Jesus is creator. So for our next, we only have two more fill in the blanks to go. And I'm going to include pretty much, I'm going to kind of sum up verses 4 through actually 11 here as one thought. Our next fill in the blank would say this. Jesus is life and light. That's what it says here in verse number 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. You know, let's put it very bluntly. The unsaved natural man, the unbeliever, is dark and dead. That's probably no kind way of describing them, but that's exactly what they were, what they are. Actually, that was us, wasn't it? Before we got saved, we were also dark and we were also dead. But in our dark world of sin that we just wallowed in, Jesus came bearing a light to shine in the darkness with the promise of life to all who would believe in his name. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And there's both those words. He's the light of the world and will have the light of life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, actually, Greg read that earlier. Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. He's the life. He's eternal life. He's abundant life. He's the resurrection and the life. Listen, here's the foundation of Christianity. We have a problem, and Jesus has the only solution to that problem. We are dead, and the only one who can make us alive is Jesus Christ. So according to John, Jesus is the light, and he's also the life. But with that in mind, let's go to our last fill in the blank. And those first four were so positive. He's God, he's eternal, he's creator, he's the light, and he's the life. But unfortunately, John has to also mention the negative. Fill in the blank number 5. Jesus was not recognized. He was not recognized. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, which would have been the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. Now, some Bibles might say this, say the world knew him not, or the world did not know him. Same thing. So what is this? Is John saying that Jesus Christ, who is God, this Jesus Christ who is eternal, this Jesus Christ who is creator, this Jesus Christ who is the light and the life of the world, was not recognized by people as being such? Well, that's exactly what John is saying. And most people today don't recognize him as that either. So what does the Apostle Paul write in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, actually 18 through 20? He writes this, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Verse number 19, here it comes. Since what may be known about God is plain to them. How, Paul? Because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen. Being understood from what? From what has been made, so that the people are without excuse. Without excuse. Let me sum that up for you, those three verses. Every human being that's walking the face of this earth should be able to look at creation and conclude that there is a creator. And it should put that person on a quest to find that creator, to seek him out. And the promise of Jesus is what? Seek and you shall find. Unfortunately, most people who walk the face of this earth, they are content with their own man-made God, whatever that man-made God may be. Be it their work, be it their money, be it their family, be it their possessions, or be it their own self. But according to John, Jesus was not recognized. According to John, Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is creator. Jesus is the light and the life. All those wonderful things, and yet, even today, he's still not recognized by most people. How about you? Do you recognize him today for who he is? For what this Bible tells us he is? Remember this, Romans 10, verse 13. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, I'd like to get into the rest of these verses. I'd really like to get into verses 12 and 13 here this morning, but time does not allow that. So we'll do a sermon series on this sometime next year and get in a little bit deeper onto this. But for now, that's all we have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.